Praise God. The word is so, so good. Amen. Well, there was this guy. Christian man, and he had passed away, and he was coming to the gates of heaven there, and Peter met him at the gate. And Peter said, "Well, hello. It's nice to see you here." And he said, "Hello, Peter." He said, "I'd like to come to heaven." He said, "Well, I got good news. It's so easy to get in." And the guy, eyes open, he said, "Well, what do I got to do to get into heaven?" Peter said to him, "There's only one thing. All you have to do is spell the word love." The guy's eyes got big and he lit up and he said, L-O-V-E. Peter said, "Congratulations, sir. Come on into your eternity." And as the man was walking away, Peter shouted, said, "Hold on a second. Can you come here?" The guy came back and said, "I have to go use the restroom," Peter said. "Do you mind filling in for me? You kind of see how things are working and how everything's going, right? You can handle this." He said, "Sure." Well, the guy took over and did such a wonderful job with it that he became Peter's permanent fill-in. And some years had gone by, and it was a day Peter had taken off, and this gentleman was at the gate, inviting and having people come in and going through the protocol. And then all of a sudden his wife appears. And she says, "Honey, it's so good to see you." And he said, "Hi, dear." And she said, "I want to come to heaven." He said, "Well, I got good news for you. It's easy." She said, "What do I have to do?" He said, "It's simple. All you have to do is spell the word Czechoslovakia. And you can come right in." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we should probably pray now and repent. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you it's okay to laugh. The Bible says about Jesus that he was anointed with joy more than anyone around him. He laughed. He had a good time. So, Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you that our lives are about to be transformed and our lives are about to be changed. Father, thank you for what we're about to hear this morning. Now, Father, we don't take this part of our lives and this part of this service lightly. We're not here playing church and going through some religious obligation on a Sunday morning just to check off some box in our consciousness of our minds to say we did a good deed today. No, we know that we're about to hear from the living God. Now, I'm not the living God, and I don't have anything good to bring people. But, Father, the anointing that's on my life and the words that you'll speak through me will change people. So, Father, we thank you for words from heaven. As I open my mouth, Father, I thank you do fill it. Father, I thank you that I'll speak words straight from the throne room of heaven, words from the Holy Ghost, of boldness, of utterance, of transforming, life-changing power. And Father, you will hit bullseyes, specific things in people's lives. And it'll be a sign unto them, Father, that you love them and that you're real and that you have a better tomorrow. But also that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from heaven. So Father, I thank you for help this morning. I thank you that, Father, our lives are about to be changed. So we buckle up spiritually, Father. We're excited. We say by faith, we are ready to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Last week we talked about, and I don't know if I'm calling this a series. We'll see when it's over if we say it's a series. But kind of piggybacking on what we talked about last week, and I'll just do a little bit of review. You know, I had so many responses from last week's message. And it struck chords in people's hearts. You know, I truly believe at the heart of every person, especially the ones that are born again and have the nature of God on the inside of them, that people want to please him. That people want to do it his way. I believe people are good that way. I believe we have people in this church that want to please God. And I believe at times we get distracted. I believe at times maybe we're confused about some things, or maybe our priorities aren't in order, or there's tests and trials that come against us. But I believe at the heart of every person, we want to do it God's way. Because we do know in our heart, it testifies in our heart, that way is best. And so as your pastor, I'm going to be the cheerleader in your life and the one that's trying to pull you up higher onto that plan. You know, it's important for you to know, too, to be able to receive from me. Regardless if you do the word or not, regardless if you're faithful to come here or not, I'm still going to pray for you. I'm still going to love on you. I'm still going to encourage you. I'm going to still want the best for you. I don't think bad of anybody here. I don't ever have. I don't sit there and think wrong things about people and condemnational thoughts. No, my heart is always the way God's heart is, which is what? Let's start doing the right thing today. Let's start doing the right thing now. Who cares about all the days past? Who cares about all the years past? We can't get those back. We can't go back and try to change those things. We are here right now, and faith only goes forward. Amen? And God says, I'm glad you're here, praise God. You remember the story of the prodigal son in the Bible? The dad had two children. He was a wealthy dad. And the one said, Dad, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait until I'm too old or whatever. I want to be able to use that inheritance now. And so his dad blessed him with the inheritance while he was here on the earth to enjoy it. And the Bible says he went out and he wasted all that he had, that he spent it and did wrong things with it, and now he was poor to the point that he didn't have money or food or anything to eat. And he thought to himself, man, did I have it good back in my father's house. Man, did I have it good back in my father's kingdom. But because of all the wrong things that he had done, he thought, well, I can't go back there. They won't want me there. I messed up and I screwed up and I just don't feel like I can come back there. But he made a statement. He said, I'd like to just go, and if I could just even eat what the pigs eat, if I could just be a servant and to take me back, it's better than what I have now. He said, I have a longing to go back to Father's house. And so he started to come back shamefully, with his tail between his legs, head down. And the Bible says his father was on the porch and saw him a far ways off. Now here was his dad who only blessed him. Here was his dad who only did good things for him. And his son wasted that. And a lot of times that can be typical of our lives at times. I know it was typical for my life for a time. A lot of days and a lot of months and a lot of years of not doing things God's way. Of God providing such wonderful things for me and me kind of just, not on purpose or with an attitude consciously doing this, but kind of snubbing my nose to the ways of God. And I know how that can feel at times. You feel so full of condemnation. You feel so full of guilt. But God is the picture of that dad on the porch. And when the dad saw that son a far ways off, he didn't say, send someone and tell him to turn away. He didn't shut the door and lock the door. He didn't chew his son out when he came. No, the Bible says he sprinted to meet his son. And he said, come on back. Come on back. And the son was just so foolish. I can't just be welcome. It can't be this easy. He said, I'll just be a servant. Just let me eat what the pigs eat. Just let me be a servant. The son said, no. Dad said, no. You're back. That which is gone is now returned, praise God. He said, restore everything back unto him. He didn't say, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire for everything you did wrong. He didn't say, I'm going to hammer you and make you keep feeling bad about that. He said, no, you're here now. Let's go forward the right way, son. Amen. That's what God wants to do for us. And we talked about last week about going God's way. Remember that? We talked about God's way. And I only have a few minutes for review here. But we know that God has ways. God has wonderful things in the Word of God to bless us with. I mean, from salvation at the top, which is our eternity in heaven, but also health on the earth, prosperity in our finances, prosperity in our mind, blessings for our family, favor, long life, protection, all these things that the world can't claim. See, the world lives in a lottery system. Hopefully it turns out good. Hopefully it doesn't turn out bad. But Christians, we don't have to. We have promises. We have guarantees from God of what He says we can have. But the issue with it is there's a God side and there's a man side. And the God side is, here's what I have for you. But also on God's side, He says, this is what it's going to take, or this is the avenue, the way that you're going to obtain it. How many know there's lots of ways in the world? But God says, my way is the best way. My way is the way that will get you into all these things. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, He clearly shows us that He has a way. If we look at what the greatest promise of God is, which is salvation, which is our eternity in heaven, which means nobody goes to hell, which means that God loved us so much, He wants us saved, that He and Jesus got into cahoots together, and Jesus agreed to lay His life down, and the Father agreed to sacrifice His Son, and they did that so we could have eternal life, praise God. So that this ain't all there is, thank God. Aren't you glad? There's a better place for us. But that came through Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I am the way. Notice we're talking about the way. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He says, no man can get to that place called heaven. No man can get to that bliss, that perfect place that God has prepared. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. A mansion, the Bible says, in heaven. They're up there making, your mansion's in construction right now. I'm hoping they can put a little log cabin for me up there. That's what I want. A log cabin mansion sounds good. On a big old lake with mountains in the background and pines and timber with elk and whitetail and bears and grizzlies just roaming. And some dinosaurs would be cool. I'll take some dinosaurs too. That's just what I want. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the way it's going to be up there. It's all going to be restored. Praise God. You're going to be able to ride on the backs of a brontosaurus. You're going to be able to ride on the backs of a T-Rex, praise God. I'm telling you, you are. You watch. Everything will be restored of God's creation in heaven, praise God, with no fear, no worry. But everybody wants to go to that place. Nobody would say, I want to die and go to unknown. Nobody would say, I want to die and go to bad. Everybody would say, when my time is up, I want to go somewhere that it's perfect, that there's no sickness, no disease, where there's no worry, no fear, no crying, no anxiety. Everybody in the world that's in their right mind would say, sign me up for that. Amen. But Jesus said, that's available, but there's only one way to get it. Do you see it? He said, I am it. I'm the only avenue. He didn't say Buddha. He didn't say Muhammad. He didn't say, what's that order of the Church of the Spaghetti Heads or something? Like, what's it called? There's something, right? The order of the strainers or something on that. I mean, I saw all sorts of crazy things out there. Yeah, the Pastafarians, and I'm not down in the Pastafarians. But you can't get to heaven through pasta. Do you know that Italians never die? Did you know Italians never die? They just passed away. The Pastafarians. And so anyways, everybody wants to go there. But how many of you know many people don't want to go the way? Well, think about it now, because this is going to be pertinent to you and walking into what God has for you. You know that peace that I'm talking about? That blessing, that prosperity in your marriage, in your children's lives, in your body, in your work, the favor of God. Favor of God's a promise. What's the favor of God when things just seem to work out? Favor in your job, favor in your life, favor in the groceries. I mean, all over the place. All these things are available. And see, you need to understand, if the greatest promise that has the greatest negative outcome if people don't receive it. Being sick and not receiving healing is not as worse as going to hell. Being poor and not receiving prosperity doesn't compare to going to hell. So if the greatest promise from the greatest and most loving God, He said there's a way, you need to perk up and listen. Because the way you're going to get into all the other blessings is the same way. There's a way to get there. And Jesus tells us the way in this verse. He says, I am the way. Well, what is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. The Word is the way. The Word has the way for you to get into every single thing that God has for you. But a lot of people don't go the way of the Word. They go the way of themselves. They go the way of pressure. They go the way of their feelings. They go the way of other people. They go the way of opinions. They go the way of ease. But that doesn't get you into the blessings of God. There's one way. God's way is best. We saw in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, right there and then we better think, you know what? Maybe I don't think like God thinks. My ways, remember ways, God has ways, are not your ways. For verse 9 says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. Everybody say higher. That means better, more perfect, praise God, than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. What's he saying? My ways are better. My way of doing things are better, praise God. We're not going to go there for time's sake, but Psalms 18 and verse 30 says that for the way of God is perfect. It's perfect. It leads to wonderful heaven on earth, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says this, there's a way. How many know there's ways? You're going to walk out of here today and you're going to go away. Not just go away like you're going away, but you're going to go a certain way when you walk out of here. This week, you're going to dictate which way am I going to go in my life. And you have a choice. You can go the one way, which is God's way, which is best. We established that last week in a little bit of review today. Or you can go your own way. The way of pressure. The way of the world. The way of the devil. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But God's way is best. God's way is best. Now, here's what you have to understand. When people, if he said about John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and life, that means that people that don't go his way will actually not receive what he said they could have, and they will face the negative consequences for it, won't they? Now, people that go to hell, die and go to hell, hell's an okay word to talk about in church, people. Jesus talked about it. Amen. I know sometimes it's, woo, don't. No, no, we need to let people know it's a real place. Now, we don't have to be afraid of it. God didn't make it for us. Hallelujah. God doesn't want anybody to go there. But my point is, if a God who loved every human being so much that he sacrificed Jesus, and a Jesus who laid his life down for the whole world and says, this is the avenue, this is the bridge, this is the way to get in. If they will sit there and have to watch the creation that they loved so much and proved it and demonstrated it, watch them go to hell, well, guess what else will happen? God will sit there with his own children because he's a man of his word. He's not a man, but thank God he's not a man, but he's a God of his word, and allow Christians who are his own kids to live in poverty, to live in depression, to live in fear and anxiety. He'll allow it to happen because he said, I've set before you life and death. It's your choice. God is not forcing. Now see, if God were to go above his ways or above his word, he'd be a liar. Amen. If I tell my children, hey, if you have a good week this week, we'll go to Waldemere at the end of the week. Good week in school. But if you don't listen, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then I'm not going to allow you to do that. How many of you know? A good parent keeps their word. A good parent has rules. A good parent has consequences for wrongdoing. Amen? Amen. And if I get a report from the teacher, oh, Caleb or Abby, they did this and that. And I say, forget about what Dad said. No, I would say, we're not going to Waldemere this week. But guess what? That would not be my fault. He didn't go or she didn't go the right way. It's the same with God. And see, the problem of why life is frustrating as Christians when you don't go God's way, this is the whole gist of the whole thing. When you go his way, you have his blessing. What does that mean? You have his touch on things. What is his touch? His touch is supernatural. Most Christians are only able to rely on the natural because they don't go God's way. When they need help financially, it's just, well, I sure hope this works out. When they need help physically, well, I sure hope it's the doctors and the medicine. But how many of you know there's times their money's not going to be in the bank account. There's times the medicine's not going to do the trick. The doctors aren't going to have a cure. But if you don't go God's way, you'll just stay in the natural. And in the natural is where it's frustrating. God did not create you to be a natural being. He created you to live a supernatural life. What does that mean? When you encounter things that the natural says you can't have, or situations that are too hard naturally, when you have God, you have the supernatural touch of God, and the things work out. Life is easier. Things work out better for your kids. Things work out better in your money. Things work out better for your family. Things work out better in your jobs. The favor of God follows you. Amen. Because God's going his way. He's only on his way. He doesn't go over here. So when you go over here, you don't have God going with you. Now he'll bless you to a measure because you are his child, and he'll bless you as much as he can, but he can't violate his word. Now don't misunderstand me. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you. But the hand, the tangible hand of blessing that is on your life from going his way, he has to take off. Why? He doesn't go the way of the world. He doesn't go the way of the devil. He would be unfaithful to go that way. Hallelujah. So we're talking about his way. And one of the things we talk about in this church all the time about a way of God is the way of faith. We know that. And I'm not preaching on specifically faith, so let me get to where we're going here before you might assume things in your mind. We know around here the way for the Christian, or our part, is the way of faith. Yes. Amen. Amen? We know that. We know that the way of to overcome is and the way life is. Well, Romans 1:17 says that we live, the just shall live by faith. We wake up in faith. Amen? That's we believe the unseen realm, glory to God. We believe what the Word says. We believe, no matter what the natural, that's the way we're called to live, is faith. And we overcome that way. We come against the devil that way. We please God that way. Walk into the blessings and receive the promises of God that way, the Word says. But this is where you need to be careful. Are you ready? Faith has components to it. Or you could say different parts to it. There's the hearing the Word part to receive faith. There's the believing before you receive part. There's the confession part of faith. And they're all part of faith. But one part of faith that many people leave out, one part of faith that many people never go down the road to explore and to learn and to receive from, and it may be one of the most important components that there is in faith, is the fact that there's a Holy Ghost. Being led by the Spirit of God is one of the main components of faith. I'm going to show you in the Word, but I'm also going to show you through example, through illustrations, and different stories as well. The way, we'll go to Romans 8 and verse 14. See, faith isn't the be-all, end-all. When you were learning how to drive, you didn't just get in the car, learn how to start it, and say, I know everything there is to know. No, sticking the key in and turning the ignition, that's one part of learning to drive a car. But there's other components that need to go with it for you to get going and to get moving, to go where you need to go. Amen? Well, we know faith is a huge component. No doubt there's a huge component to starting the car, but there's other components to driving a car. Well, faith is a huge component of driving your life into the blessings that God has for you. But one of the other major components of faith, maybe one of the most important ones, is being led by the Holy Ghost. And I'll show you through the Word and through examples. But it says in Romans 8:14, see, because we can't say, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, I'm in faith, and throw this out, because it goes with it, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I started the car, but I'm not going to worry about that shifting into gear thing. Can't do that. Ain't going to go anywhere. Amen? But I started it. It's running. Yeah, but you got to shift it into gear. You got to put your foot on the pedal. Amen? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, when it talks about being led by the Spirit of God, this is what you need to know what happened. When you got born again, the Bible says you became a new creation. You didn't change outward appearance. Your thoughts didn't change, the Word says. But on the inside of you, the real you, the spirit of you, was born again. That's what born again means. People say, born again? I think it was Zacchaeus, right? He said, how can a man be born again? He can go back into his mama and be born again? Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about natural birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. When you accept Jesus, your spirit's made brand new. You become a new creation in Christ. But when that happens, what also happens, the Bible says, is the Holy Ghost, a.k.a. God, comes to live on the inside of you. Now, the Bible then says that they that are led by the Spirit or by God are the sons of God. So God clues us in on a verse here. He says, the way I'm going to lead you, what does leading sound? Sounds like a way. We're talking about a way. The way I'm going to lead you is by my Spirit. Now let's partner that with faith. So we're in a trial or situation, and we're in faith for it, and we're confessing, we're believing, we're contending for it. But he says, the way that you'll be led into something, if you're in poverty and you're in faith for prosperity, one of the major ways he's going to lead you out of that poverty to prosperity is by the Spirit of God. Healing, same way. Problems in your marriage, problems in your job, problems in your family, problems with your children. Being led by the Spirit of God. Now, here's what happens with people. A lot of people get into this faith mentality, and that's okay mentality to get into, but they leave this major component out. What they do is, I'm believing God for money. I'm believing God for money. Believing God for money. But if you don't know that there's a Holy Ghost on the inside of you, If you don't know how the Holy Ghost leads, if you don't know, have not become skillful in how to hear the Holy Ghost, God might be telling you, this is how you're going to get your money. Do this, do this, do this. And you're just standing not knowing about God. I'm believing God for money. I'm believing God for money. And he's saying, okay, I know you're believing for money. The money is at the end of doing this. Do this. Do this. Go to 1 Kings 17. I'm going to show you about God. The Holy Ghost is just the voice of God in your life. That's all it is. And I don't mean to, I'm not trying to say this to be down, to be mean. But following the Spirit is one of the things that most Christians never learn to do. And they go without. Because God is not leading you through your mind. He's not leading you through your feelings. He's not leading you through your emotions. He's not leading you through opinions of people that you trust. A lot of people make decisions, big decisions in your life, like how my 5-year-old daughter makes them. Ooh, I like that. I'll go that way. It's how Christians go. I mean, I know I've been there. It's hurt my life at times. Oh, that looks nice. That feels good. That sounds nice. It's got to be God. It feels so good. It's so easy. And it's so nice. That's how 5-year-olds make their decisions. Wow, amen? But God doesn't lead that way, and that's the problem. People can't get out of their flesh and can't get out of their minds, can't get out of the opinions of people to get into their heart where the true God, who knows? Now think about this. He's God. He's been to your future and back. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the end. He's already seen your whole life. He knows every road to say, don't go that way. Don't touch that thing. Don't go that way. Do this, do that. He knows it all. And if you can take time to learn how to follow Him and learn, you won't believe how good your life can be. Most Christians are lottery Christians. What are they doing? They're just living by hope. Oh, I hope this decision is right. Oh, I hope this decision works out. Man, I used to live like that. It's no fun. You don't have to live like that anymore. He said, I'll lead you. He said, I love you so much, I'll come on the inside of you. I'll guide everything you do. Amen. What did he say in Proverbs chapter 3? Actually, Michelle, would you pull up Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. What does he say? Well, it tells us right here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Right? The spirit of man, the Bible says, the spirit of man is the candle or the guiding or the flashlight or the light of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly, Proverbs tells us, that heart region. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the center, the consciousness of man. Didn't say head. Didn't say trust in the Lord with all the opinions of those you trust. Trust in the Lord with all your feelings. Trust in the Lord with all your emotions. Trust in the Lord with all your flesh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because he said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God." So he says, trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or your own ways of doing things. Why? Because he already told us. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are death. Lean not on your own understanding. Now look at this. This is where people miss it here. In all your ways. In all, that means car purchases, spouse, jobs, decisions for your children. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Now a lot of people think that's just God trying to keep me under his thumb. No, no, no. That's God telling you, I want every area of your life blessed. And I'm offering you the opportunity in every single thing you do to get my take on it, which is the highest, most perfect, most blessed take that you can have on your life. In all your ways, acknowledge me. And he said, I'll direct, or I'll lead, or I'll guide on the way. Well, how's he doing that? Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit. So a lot of times people, well, I'm believing God for healing. I'm believing God for healing. Okay, you're believing God for healing. Stop eating this. Stop doing this with your body. Don't do that anymore. I'm going to give you some stories here in a minute. And when people don't know how to follow the Holy Ghost, their healing doesn't come and they get discouraged. No, no, no. it's a component that goes with it. Well, I've been believing God for money and the money's not coming. Well, I was believing God for this to happen. I was believing God for that to happen. Yeah, I know. But what was the Holy Ghost telling you through the whole thing? Were you set out on a course your own way? Or were you open to hearing the direction of leading of the Spirit that might have you go a different way? Well, 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go there and check this out. 1 Kings 17 and verse 1. Praise God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, now Ahab is the king at the time. Elijah, the prophet of God, who's the mouthpiece of God, now remember, he's not God, but he speaks on behalf of God. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, so he's not coming up with this on his own, God told him this. Before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What's he doing? He just prophesied a drought. Now, in an agricultural society, droughts are not good. So Elijah, the mouthpiece of God, or the prophet of God, gets up and prophesies to the king, there ain't going to be any rain until God says so. Well, when he says that, and the drought is about taking place and things, they think Elijah, now we know if we go down and read verse chapter 18, King Ahab came to Elijah and said, are you the one that's troubling Israel? They thought he was the problem. That's why what you're going to see is after he prophesied this, if you study it out, Elijah had to go on the run because they're not getting any rain. It's messing up their society, their money, and their food, and the famines and all this stuff. And they think it's because of Elijah because he's the one that said it. But he was just saying what God said, but they didn't know. They don't know God, so they don't know how God works. They think it came from the man, that this man cursed the land. So now they're after him. Elijah's a wanted man now. His picture's on, you know, on the telephone poles. Wanted. Elijah. And they sent the armies out after him. So now Elijah's got to do something different. Why? Because Elijah can't go to Walmart anymore. Elijah can't go down to the bank anymore. Elijah can't go to his local restaurant and diner and just sit there and mingle with people. Now here's what I want you to see. We know that Elijah was a faith man. How do we know? Well, if you go study it, chapter 18, it's when they were worshiping the prophets of Baal, the heathens, and Elijah says, your God ain't real. This is the Pastor Mike Anderson translation. Just condensing it here. He says, your God's not real, but my God's real. He said, I'm going to bring a sacrifice, and I'm going to show you by the God that answers by fire. And he put a sacrifice there in front of the people that were worshiping the false gods and things. And the prophets of Baal. And so he not only took that, but he doused that sacrifice in water and got it wet. Well, how many of you know wet wood usually doesn't light too well? But he was doing it just to show my God, it don't matter if it's dry or if it's wet, my God's a God of fire. And he believed God so much that he doused that sacrifice over and over, and God answered by fire and burnt that thing up and proved my God's real. So my point of that is we know he's in faith. So now after verse 1, he's prophesied the drought. He's now got to go on the run. But we know he's a person of faith. What does that mean? He's believing for money. He's believing for provision. He's believing for protection. He's believing for safety. He's believing for health. Now, what could Elijah have done? He could have just stood there, gone to his local Walmart, walk right in front of everyone and say, I'm believing God for money. I'm believing God for protection. If he would have done it, it would have cost him his life. But the word of the Lord came to him in verse 2, saying, get thee hence, or get out of here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now what if Elijah would have not recognized or understood, aw, little guy. What if Elijah would have not recognized or heard, or paid attention to the voice of God, and just totally tuned it out, like a lot of Christians do and say, I'm believing God for money, my money's going to come. But yet the Holy Ghost is on the inside saying, yeah, it's going to come, but this is how it's going to come. I'm believing God for my healing. Yeah, you are believing me for healing, but I got some direction for you to help you get into that healing. What if Elijah said, no, I'm standing my ground. Oh, I'm a faith man. I'm just going to walk right into Walmart. Wanted man, I see my face on the pictures. Oh, he'd have been done. It would have been stupidity. Thank God he recognized and heard the voice of the Lord, which that's all the Holy Ghost is the voice of God. He says, go there, I'll have the ravens feed you. Go down by the brook, your protection is over here. Well, there again, What if Elijah would have said, but I don't want to go to the brook Cherith. I want to go to the brook so-and-so. I don't want to have the ravens feed me. I want it from a different way. Well, guess what? God's blessing and provision were at the brook Cherith. If Elijah would have said, I'm going this way, God already said, the one that can't lie, my blessing's at the brook. If you don't want to go to the brook, just like he told Lot's wife, don't turn around. She turned around, not God's fault. Caleb, you want to go? Do good all week. Oh, Caleb did bad all week. The teacher told, well, you ain't going, not Dad's fault. The brook Cherith where your blessing is, Elijah. Oh, I heard the voice of God. I am in faith for my provision. I am in faith for my protection. I am in faith for all that God has for me. And he's saying that that is in the way of the brook Cherith, so I'm going that way. And he went there. And verse 6 says, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So he's protected, he's provided for there. And see, this is where the voice of God connect the dots. Okay, now make this move. Make this adjustment. In verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I command a widow to stay in there. Sustain you there. Now what if you just said, I'm in the brook Cherith and things are going great here for me. This is where I'm going to receive my provision. And not heard the voice of the Lord, not recognized the voice of the Lord. And God says, no, your blessing's not here anymore. It's down in Zidon. That's where my blessing is for you now. If you want to continue in the blessing, you got to go my way to Zidon. Well, he said, no, I don't want to go. Or what if he didn't recognize it, number one, which a lot of Christians don't. But then what if he would have done what a lot of Christians do too? I don't want to go to Zidon. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to raise my kids the way you say. Okay, but that's where his blessing is. The way of the word. Well, I don't want to go to Zidon, a widow woman. That's not a way to do it. He says, that's where my blessing is. So Elijah, being the smart man that he was, said, Zidon, here I come. And he went. And he was blessed there, wasn't he? Amen. You ready for some stories? We like stories. Not too long ago, I've had several things the past couple of years outside of church, things to do, like weddings and such like that, So if you hear me say this, don't assume it was you and your situation, but just to tell you the truth, to be honest, going through something in my body. I'm talking extreme pain that sent me to the ER and then sent me to a specialist, and nobody had the answer for it. Well, it might be this, try that. Nothing was working. I'm talking about curled up in a ball before I come to church in the fetal position, driving to church in an absolute cold sweat in my suit. I'm in so much pain and coming and preaching the Word of God, doing weddings like that. It's just it's truth. That's not to make you feel compassionate. I'm just trying to prove a point to you here. And I was going through that, and I'm a man of the Word. I know the Word. The Word says I could be healed. The Word says I can be healed. And so I'm standing on the Scriptures. I'm standing in healing, and it's not coming. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And I've been to the ER. I've been to a specialist for this. And they cannot figure it out, and the pain's getting worse. It's almost debilitating. I mean, I'm talking horrible pain. And I have a pretty high pain tolerance. I don't like to see blood. It doesn't bother me with a deer. But people, I don't like to see it. But pain for myself, I have a pretty high pain tolerance, I think. And this was about stopping me in my tracks. But I never missed a service, never missed an appointment, just powered through it, Believe in God. Faith without works is dead. It's not getting better, though. So Smarty Pants over here decides, you know what, maybe it's time to check in with headquarters. Lord, what is it? Now, before I say this, let me caution you. I don't encourage people to look on the internet for things, because you'll get a whole lot of things that will feed your mind with fear. I encourage people to follow the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit, when I sought God, directed me to a specific thing to look up things in the internet, because nobody knew what was going on. I said, but Lord, you know what's going on. He said, look into this specific thing. So I did. When I did, there's a whole lot of other things, but he pinpointed through the Spirit, learning how to follow the Holy Ghost, exactly what my problem was. And then it said, okay, so there's a whole host of things that you can do to try to have it subside and different things. Then it was like a highlighted thing in my spirit of exactly what I'm supposed to do. Now, this is no lie to you. Months and months and months and months of this is going on in extreme pain. She'll tell you, extreme pain. And I get, the Lord directs me, I get on there, find out what it is. And he says, through the Holy Ghost, there's one change you need to make in your diet. Just one change in your diet. Now, this is no joke. Specialists, emergency room, I make one change in my diet. And in one day, on the second next day, the pain is completely gone and has not come back. One change. Now, what's my point? Heal me. By his stripes, I'm healed. He himself took my infirmities. Yes, that's true. Confess faith. Confess healing. But don't forget about the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is saying your healing is available, but it's going to go through this way. And I got it that way. Hallelujah. A lot of people, you're in faith for something. Oh, bless this, Lord. Command the money to come. But if you don't know how to hear the voice of God. Now, if you're just in tune with God, he's always talking to you. This stuff isn't hard, but it is a choice and a commitment. That's what I want to say. Going God's way is not hard, but it does take a choice and a commitment because your flesh and your mind and the opinions of man are going to tell you to go a different way. But the way of God is the most rewarding. Here I was. And here's another thing. The doctor said this to me, the specialist I went to. He said, we can do all sorts of different tests on you. He goes, I have no idea. He said, we can do all sorts of extreme stuff on you to go through all the, to try to find out what is going on in your body. To get to the bottom of it. He said, and even then I might not know. But when he said that to me, the Spirit of God said, no, that is not the route I'm going to go with this. Not because I was fearful of money or insurance or time at the doctor's. The Spirit of God said, nope, that's not what we're going to do. So I went and found out what it was, changed my diet, haven't had the pain since. Just make the change in your diet. That's all I did. Well, how many people? I'm standing in a healing line. Heal, heal, heal. And the Lord's saying to you, but you're not hearing it. Hey, hey, those knee problems you're having, if you lost 20 pounds, I know we're here. Oh, man, I better preach like this. Then I don't have to see people's faces. If you lose 20 pounds, you know that cholesterol problem you're having, that sugar problem you're having? You know, if you just would do this, because that's what happened to me, just do this and it'll change. I'm not saying it's all across the board all the time. Sometimes you're doing everything you know to do and you're just standing in faith, but there's also a Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times people, well, I'll use this story. Dr. Dufresne told this story. He's in heaven now, but of his son, Stephen. And Stephen used to ride the dirt bikes that would go up and do the jumps and stuff. You know, they're the family from California. Pastor Nancy's his mom coming into the church this weekend here. She's in Fredonia right now preaching. And he breaks his leg, and he's like, I think, I don't know, 16 or 17 years old, I believe is what he was. He breaks his leg bad, where they got to put rods and stuff in his legs. And so, Dr. Dufresne has a healing anointing, and that man's a man of faith. And they tell, you know, putting the rods in, this is the problems you could have, and this is the situations and things like that. And how many of you know the best route is not going and get rods in your legs? Thank God for doctors, but the best route is to not have to get surgery. Do you agree? The best route's not having to take medicine. But here's my point, is that Dr. Dufresne, the Spirit of God, Dr. Dufresne initially was like, we're going to believe God for Stephen's healing and not go the route of the doctors. God can heal this. But him being in tune to the Spirit said, Doctor, your son is of an age now where he's heard the word and heard the word and heard the word. And he's been in church and heard the word. Your faith cannot carry him anymore. And so you might have faith that God can heal this, but it's not your leg. And the Bible says whatsoever things you desire. You might have faith for someone else, but if they don't have faith for their own thing, your faith can't trump it. You can help him, help their faith. And he said to him, he said, your son's of an age now. He's got to believe this on his own. Well, Dr. Frey also knew by the lead of the Holy Ghost, my son doesn't have faith, this kind of faith for this. So we're going to go the route of the doctors, but we're going to join our faith and build our faith with my son, that the problems that they say and the hindrances you're going to have. But what am I saying? What if Dr. Dufresne wouldn't have known how to hear the Holy Ghost and just said, you know, I'm a man of my faith. I've seen miracle signs and wonders in my ministry. And I've seen things, cancer was cured in his body. Well, my son, I'm just going to believe the healing for my son. And went that route and never heard the voice of God. Stephen would have had a messed up leg for not getting it fixed. Following the Holy Ghost. Amen. Be careful, people. Are you ready? Be careful with all this new age. How do I say this so I say it nice and they understand? My whole thing is follow the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost tells you to go a natural, holistic way of doing something, go that way. But if the Holy Ghost says you need medicine and you need a doctor, you better go to the doctor and go to the medicine. Some people do foolish things in the name of herbs and spices and oils. Well, I'm not against that at all. But if the Holy Ghost is saying you better go a different direction, you better learn to hear his voice. I knew a lady, she's a minister, powerhouse for God, dealt with anxiety, was on anxiety medicine, got a hold of the faith message. So you know what she did? Oh, I'm in faith now, believing God for my healing, threw all her anxiety medication away. Had the worst anxiety attack of her life. Why? Didn't follow the Holy Ghost. And then I known people that are in this church that were in severe, incurable things that were taking medicine to subside the problem, who were standing in faith, believing God, taking the medicine. Every time they'd pop a pill, they'd say, Father, I thank you. Someday I'm not going to have to take this. And months would go by and the Holy Ghost would say, hey, cut back 10% on that. Okay, they cut down to 90. The doctor says, oh, you got to be careful. No, the Holy Ghost said, cut back to 90. Hey, cut back another 10%. Now they're down to 80% of the medicine. Hey, cut back to 50%. What are they doing? Following the Holy Ghost. And now, cut down to 25%. Cut down to 10%. Cut down to only 5% of medicine. Okay, it's time. You don't need it anymore. And they don't take it anymore. But they didn't just chuck it out in the name of faith. That's silly. There's a Holy Ghost that guides and directs people. See, a lot of times people take a direction or a way and never even consider to ask God, God, is this going to turn out okay? Is this the way we should go? What do you think about this way? What do you think about this person? What do you think about this job? What do you think about this? No, it's just, I like it. This sounds good to me. Let's go this way, like the zombie. Amen. Let me tell you another story about, just more stories here. Of course, most of you know about my house testimony. Well, 26 months, we believed God for a house. 26 months. We had a 700-square-foot house with Abby on the way. It was small in Jamestown. We knew we needed a bigger house. The Bible says it'll meet all my needs. So praise God. Lord, I thank you for a new house. Thank you for a bigger house. Okay, well, we have a job to do. A house doesn't just fall on your head. You got to go look. So we got out and started looking for 26 months. Well, we just assumed, because we didn't seek God, but we just assumed that when you pastor in South Dayton, you must have to live in South Dayton. Because this was before I pastored Olean, started Olean Church, so we looked for houses in South Dayton. Well, we found there was one house in South Dayton that, my goodness, on the outside and the property, at least what we thought of the property at the time, and the inside of this house, I mean, it's log cabin, a great room, a ceiling that goes up, and I'm thinking, my goodness, the mounts I can put on that. That's what I'm thinking. Amen. And so we go, make an appointment to go see it. Excited. First 5 minutes I'm there, the Holy Ghost clearly speaks to me, this is not your house. Well, when I heard it, I was like, what? But in the process of finding out about the house, we saw all these problems and the land was pretty much destroyed. They took all the timber off before they sold. I mean, it was just like all these things you're starting to find out. There was a house in Jamestown that was like triple the size of our house and it fit our budget, which made my flesh and my mind happy. A lot of people are led by the dollar bill and comfort and pressure. I'm trying to help you and save you heartache and pain and stuff. And I said, that seems good. I like that. My budget, my checkbook likes that. And so what I do? Went and looked at the house. You know what the Spirit of God said to me? This is your Ishmael house. Well, if you don't know the word, I'll help you. Ishmael was the son that Abraham and Sarah went out and made happen on their own with Hagar, her handmaid. Remember, God said, you're going to have a son. Well, they got in their head thinking, how's that going to be? How's that going to be? How's that going to be? The pressure got to them. They said, well, Sarah, you ain't cutting it. Let's go find Hagar. She'll make me a baby. And they had Ishmael, and it was less than what God had. See, God doesn't want you to have Ishmaels. He wants you to have Isaacs. And there were problems with it. He said, that's your Ishmael house. Well, okay, so we keep looking. I'm not going to get into an Ishmael house. Heck no, I've gotten into a lot of Ishmael things in my life. I ain't getting into an Ishmael house. What's an Ishmael thing? When you do things your own way. See, you can do things your own way. See, you might say, I'm not tithing. I'm not raising my kids a certain way, but things seem to be good. Okay, let me counter that thought you're getting from the devil. The Lord says, unless a man, Psalms 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, he labors in vain who builds it. What's that mean? You can build things in your life, but if it's not done the Lord's way, it's in vain and it'll crash. That's my point. He said that. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can build things in your life and make it look like, I'm doing just fine without this tithing. I'm doing just fine with not having my family in church and not worrying about it and not stressing about it. I'm doing just fine. Yeah, you're building something in your life, but it's in vain. That's what God said. He's trying to prophesy to you to keep you from a demise or a downfall. Amen. And so we go look at a house and I drive by one and I started to get the impression in my spirit that we're not going to live in South Dayton. That there's for some reason, and I know a little bit, man, I don't have to get into all of it, that we're still going to live in that area. And it just boggled my mind. But it ain't about my mind. And so I just driving around. Saw a house I drive by all the time. I said, man, I really like that. Pulled in. Had an impression to pull in. Called the number. They didn't have the price listed. And it was way out of our budget. I mean, I always tell you the story, you know, that this was after she quit her job. But when she was working her job, which paid way more than the job I had, which was this job, the bank approved us for a loan. Because she was working, I was working. But now she's not working. And this house is way more, I mean, tens of thousands more than what they would have approved us for when she was working. And now we're not working. I saw the number. I said, oh, forget this house. And the Spirit of God said, in my heart, clearly, make an appointment to see it. I said, Lord, that's not nice. That's just going to tease me. Make an appointment to see it. So I did. And you know what happened? First 5 minutes when I walked into that house, or from pulling in there and walking the front door, I had an inkling, a knowing in my spirit. Because I had just looked at 26 months worth of houses. And hearing no, 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 no. And I walk into this house and the Spirit of God says, this is your house. I knew it. Well, then I could walk out of there and say, thank God for the house. Lord, you said it. You said it. But there's a Holy Ghost. How am I going to get into the house, Lord? Yes, you said there's prosperity. Remember the children of Israel in Hebrews chapter 3? He said, I'm grieved in my heart for they don't know my ways. What are his ways? His ways lead to the blessings. His ways lead to the help for your kids and in your money and in your body and in your job and in the favor and all those things. And so, yes, Lord, the house is available, but what's the way to get it? And you know this, most of you know the story, you know. And I was walking the land looking at the property, made a second appointment to walk the property lines and courts up ahead about running as fast as you can to get out of the bugs. The realtor hurt his ankle playing golf. I don't know how you hurt your ankle playing golf, but he did. And he's hobbling behind, and I'm in the middle just praying in tongues. I said, Lord, you said this is my house. You said it, and I believe it, and I thank you for it. But how in the world is that going to happen? He said, you get back and you tell the realtor three things. I mean, this is clear. I'm praying to God, just talking to God like he's real. He says, tell him three things. Tell him the money's in the bank. It's a cash deal. Tell him you don't need to sell your house first, and you tell him that you can tell the buyer, the seller of the house, she can move out whenever she wants. Tell her if it's 10 years, you don't care. So he told me to say. I went back and said everything, and those three things that I said that I naturally could not back up a day in my life, but that God could because he told me to say it. See, I wasn't writing checks I can't cash. He can cash. I can't cash it, but he can cash it. That's why it's important to know his will. A lot of people are out writing checks that you don't have the backing for. When I'm saying that, I'm only saying what God said saying to do. And those three things I said were the three reasons she chose me over people that were offering her more than what the house was asking for. And I asked, and I offered tens of thousands less. But because of the three things the Holy Ghost said, she said, I want to do business with him. Because she didn't want to have to move. She wanted to have all the time in the world. She didn't want it to have to go through a bank. She liked the idea of a cash deal that it was just going to change hands because she had been through all that before. Things had fallen through. But how did I know to do that? The Holy Ghost got me into that house. What am I saying? Oh, thank God for a house. Thank God for a house. Okay, but there's a way to get into it. Amen. Healing, same way. I'm almost done. I want to tell one more quick story here. I've told about my Ohio story. Now, you know, for those of you that have been with me, you know I love to archery hunt. It's my, outside of church and my family, it's my passion. It's my thing that I love, love, love to do. And I've gotten out of order with it in the past, you know, and Lord's had to reel me back in. But I was walking on my property one day with my yellow lab, Wrigley, you know, Wrigley the Revelator. She's with Jesus now, playing ball. Abby reminds us that every night she prays. And I was walking, I said, Lord, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. I said, I don't know why, since I've been a young boy, I've been obsessed with white-tailed deer. Not just killing them, it's so much more than killing. The majority of the time I go out, I don't kill. The majority of the deer that walk by me, I just let them live. It's not about the kill for me. And the kill, when the kill does come, I'm able to help feed a lot of people and give a lot of it away and bless my own family, but it's not just about that. I said, I don't know why, since I was a kid, I was obsessed with seeing deer, you know, praying in the back seat on the way to a Sabres game that we would hit a deer and having my dad yell at me. When I was a little kid, I thought, man, if we just hit a deer, I can go touch it and see it. Pastor Tim tells a story how when we were growing up together, you know, we'd wake up and we'd have to ride our bikes about 5 miles, and I'd make him get up right at dawn, you know, because that's when deer would be in the field, but we found one that was in the ditch that was hit. And I want to go there every day and just poke at it and be close to a deer. I said, I don't know why I feel that way, Lord. That's just what I've always felt about him. I said, and I'll give up hunting if you want me to. I said, if I'm asking you out of selfish motives here, I'll give it up because there's more important things in life than hunting. I'm not taking hunting with me. I didn't get a sense that I had to do that. I have to keep things in order and things. I said, and I prayed. I said, okay, I don't feel like I have to give that up, you know. I will if you want me to. I said, my desire would be to have a connection in the Midwest. Now, see, if you don't know anything about whitetails in the Midwest, they're the biggest deer in the country. The minerals in the ground, the food sources, the genetics they have, the racks just... Now, you might get a humongous one around here, but they grow them in by the dozens in Iowa, in Ohio, in Kansas, places like that. The bucks are huge. But to get a hunt in those places for 5 days, you're talking anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000 to 15,000. Just depends how good you want it. I said, I'd rather believe you for other things than believe you for money to hunt an animal that I can hunt out in my backyard for free. I said, my desire, my heart. Now, if he would have told me, nope, I want you to believe me for the money, well, then I would have. But I didn't have that leading. Remember when they told us we need a sprinkler system here? And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to believe you for the money or believe that they're going to change the laws? Because if you want me to believe for the $100,000, I'll believe you for the $100,000. I'm not against that. He said, nope, I want you to believe me for that they're going to change the laws. And they did. And so I had the sense in my heart, I'm not supposed to believe you for these expensive whitetail hunts. If you say so, I will. But no, believe me for something else. Believe me for a connection. So I did. I said, Lord, I want a connection to the Midwest where I can go hunt them anytime I want for free. So I released my faith that day. I remember I said, Lord, I thank you. A connection's coming for me to be able to hunt white-tailed deer in the Midwest. Well, it's getting ready to be bow season. Well, it's still the summer, and I'm getting ready to get a new bow. And I'm getting ready to go to the archery shop that I always go to. And I'm talking to a friend, and he's telling me about the bow that he had got a few years earlier in the archery shop that he went to. When he said that, in my heart, I knew I'm supposed to go buy a bow from that place. I just knew it. See, little things like that, yes, God cares about you. Go buy a bow from that place. Well, I didn't want to go buy a bow from that place. It was I'm just going to be honest with you, completely transparent. I've always had a desire to get into the backstage pass of the Amish community. For some reason, it's another one of my weird quirks. Always had a desire. But I'll be honest, before this, I had stereotypes in my head about certain sects of the Amish community. And I thought, I don't want to go buy a bow from them. That was my thought in my mind. Now, it was wrong, and I repented for it, but I'm just being transparent. So when the Holy Ghost said, go buy a bow from them, my initial thought was, I don't want to. I'll tell you what the main reason was, they don't answer their phone because they don't have one. And when I need to get a hold of them, I don't want to have to drive 25 minutes. That was the main thing I had. And then come to find out, they did have a phone. I don't know how, but they do. And so I went there, and I walked into the archery shop, and I knew I will never buy a bow from anywhere else. This was the first 5 minutes I was in the archery shop without even meeting the people. I said, in my heart, I'll never buy a bow from anywhere else. I just knew it. And so I meet the guy, the owner. Well, his dad's the owner, but he runs it for him. Daniel's his name, in his mid-20s. And he says, I said, this is what I want. Set me up with a bow. Great. We hit it off kind of, you know, just could tell we had a lot in common, you know, with hunting and just the way we think. And so he says, okay, come back such and such day. Pick your bow up. So I go back to pick it up, and his nephew Marvin's running the shop. And I say, where's Daniel? He said, well, Ruthie gave birth. You know, his wife was pregnant. Gave birth, and they're up in Buffalo Children's or Buffalo General, I can't remember. And something serious has happened with the baby, and they're in trouble. Well, when I heard that, I had compassion in my heart. And I felt bad, you know, and just here they are in this situation, you know. They're up in Buffalo. They can't drive. They don't have people that can visit them. And I just felt bad. In the Spirit of God, as I was walking up to my truck, he said, go visit them today. I get in my truck, and I'm having this back and forth with God. I knew I was supposed to go visit them. And not only did he say go visit, he said, go visit them and bless their socks off. That's what he said. Go visit them and bless them. I said, Lord, you do know my finances right now. This is not a good time to be blessing someone else. Lord, you do know my time right now. It's not a good, convenient time for me to go do this. This is when I'm running both churches, you know. You know, midweek services in both, doing things. You do know I don't even know these people, and that's awkward for me to go there and just show up and say, hey, you remember the guy that bought a bow? You know, we have hundreds of guys like me that come in. But guess what? The Holy Ghost said, now here's the thing. I didn't know at the time they had a lease in Ohio. I didn't know at the time that prayer that I prayed in my yard for a connection to the Midwest was now God connecting the dots to get me there. I had no idea. But because I know how to follow the Holy Ghost, I was doing what God said to do. So I went and visited them in the hospital. Walked in, they let me pray for their baby. Had all sorts of thoughts that they wouldn't let me. The devil's a liar. Went in and prayed for their baby. Went and took Daniel down to Rite Aid, the closest store there was there. Loaded him up with diapers, loaded him up with little baby toys, loaded him up with, because they won't watch TV, loaded him up with games and stuff for him and his wife to do to have fun. I mean, just loaded him up. Just thinking I'm following the Holy Ghost. I leave, you know. A few days later, I get a phone call from Daniel. You know, the Amish guy with a phone. It's a landline used for business. There's these stipulations. They're allowed, you know, certain. He says, I'd like to talk to you. He says, Mike, we get hundreds and hundreds of offers every year. Guys see the bucks in our shop. You should see their shop. It looks like what it would look like on a TV personality that's a hunter on the wall. I mean, the biggest of the big on the walls. He says, guys know, and they ask about where we hunt. No, I didn't ask them about it. I didn't know it. I was just there to buy a bow. He said, and we tell them, we have a lease in Ohio. Well, if you don't know, Iowa is one of the best places in America to shoot deer. But they're saying Ohio is becoming the new Iowa. I know you're getting all this deer information, but it's part of the story. Ohio is becoming the new Iowa. The deer that they're killing in Ohio are ginormous. And he said, people ask, where do we get these deer? Because you ain't shooting them in Panama. I don't mean the country. I mean down in Panama, New York, you know. You're not shooting those in Panama. You might every once in a while see a buck like that, but not the ones you have on the wall. Where are you getting these deer from? We get them in Ohio. We have a lease in Ohio. And then they think, ding dong, light goes off. They don't drive. How are they getting there? So people offer to drive them, take advantage of them. He said, we know it. We're not stupid. He said, people offer us all the time. It's not because they want to be friends with us. It's because they want to get on our hunting property. He said, but we're not going to go with just anybody. We want to go with people we like and people that are friends and we can trust, have the same morals, beliefs as us. Said, it just so happens we have a person that drives us. They had two, you know, calls English drivers, that one of them is starting a business down south and can't do it anymore. And we want to ask you if you want to get on our lease and be the guy that drives us down and hunt anytime you want to. Say what? Yes. I'll do it. To the point I found such favor. And she'll attest to this. I'm the one they want to take them all the time. I'm their first choice in anything that they do hunting-wise. Call me up to see if I can do it. Every time. Every time. I wouldn't even go into the details of how I became the guest of honor at their house with like 30, 40 Amish people running around, and the Amish little kids were coming up to me with their little bowl cuts and their Amish clothes and looking at me like I was Sasquatch. And it was the cutest and best thing. And I'm speaking to them in English, and they're over there laughing. I said, what's so funny? I said, they don't know English at that age. They only know German. And I'm sitting there talking to them. And here I am, the backstage pass. What I wanted, God orchestrated and put together simply because here I'm praying for a connection to the Midwest. And he says, go to the hospital and visit someone. Or no, go to an archery shop and get a bow. Go to the hospital. Dot, 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 dot. Connection to the Midwest and go wherever I want. My name's on the lease. Yeah. Hallelujah. And holy cow, 1137? What? Last year, I've told this story in closing about following the Holy Ghost. And you say, how do I follow the Holy Ghost? I did a whole series on it last year. 7 or 8 week series on how to follow the Holy Ghost. It would do you good to listen to it. Because faith isn't the only thing. I believe God for a big buck in New York. Big buck in New York. Last year, November 6, 2017, they asked me and called me up. Mike, it's time to go to, want to go to Ohio? Well, November 1st through the 14th, man, that is the best time, maybe even extend it to the 18th or something, the best time to be in the woods if you're a whitetail hunter. It's when the big bucks are up walking around. In Ohio, they have the big ones. I've seen them. So you want to go to Ohio with us? And naturally and in my mind and in my flesh, you're darn right I want to go. That's my chance to kill the biggest buck of my life. Well, the Holy Ghost said, no, you are not to go on that trip. Well, there was all this pressure because now I'm going to let them down and they might not even be able to go now. Because if they can't get a hold of the other guy, it just kind of, they like going with me, and the thought of not being able to hunt that property on November 6th, and it's cold and deer are moving. There's all these things going on, but the Spirit is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. So I said, Daniel, I'm sorry, I just can't go. I didn't get into details because they might not understand everything. I said, I just can't go on this trip. I apologize. Oh, it's no problem. Don't worry about it. We'll see if we can get down there. I just can't do it. I can't violate God for people. Can't do that, people. So I went hunting that night. And it was after the time change, November 6th. And so it's getting dark at 5:30 at night. I don't get to my stand till 4:30. That's 1 hour of hunting. 1 hour of hunting. And I'm going to a stand, and I'm getting ready to climb up it, and I'm hunting on Reverend Randy's property. He's that minister out of Jamestown Church that led me to Jesus. He's also a pilot. And he knows I'm hunting his land, and he's texting from his airplane. And he says, what stand you going to? I said, I'm going to Noggin Knocker. We name all our stands. The reason Noggin Knocker is called Noggin Knocker is because when we were hanging that stand, Reverend Randy was sawing off a branch and didn't realize it, and sawed off a branch, and it came down and knocked him in the noggin. Gave him a big bump on his head, so we call it Noggin Knocker. I said, I'm going to Noggin Knocker. He said, where are you? I said, I'm getting ready to climb up the tree. He said, well, get up there. I'm about to come through. I get up there, and all of a sudden I hear off the distance, meow. He got as low as he could to those trees and turned sideways and buzzed the heck out of me that night. It was the coolest thing in the world, and I sat there and thought, I will never see a deer tonight. He's probably scared him to kingdom come. So I'm sitting up in my stand just kind of laughing, not really paying attention, thinking about it. I mean, it was just so cool. It looked so fast and so big coming through the treetops. He said I was flooring it. You know, he just did it to show off to me. And I'm sitting there, and at 5 o'clock, I hear something behind me, and I look. And here comes the biggest buck of my life in New York State. On the night the Amish people asked me to go to the best place you can go, I'm believing God for a big buck, and I tell them no, obey God, go in the stand. And on November 6, 2017, Pastor Mike Anderson shot the biggest buck of his life being in the stand for 30 minutes. Because, now here's the thing, that deer would have walked by there at 5 o'clock on November 6, 2017, whether I was in the tree or not. I didn't grunt him in, I didn't call him in, I'm just sitting there thinking I'm not going to see a deer. They just been buzzed by the airplane. You remember when Tom Cruise buzzed the tower in Top Gun? That's not good! They don't like that kind of stuff. It does things to people. Well, I can't imagine what it does to a deer. And I sat there for half an hour, and I got the biggest buck of my life. How did it happen? Because I followed the Holy Ghost. What things are we believing for, but yet we've not taken time to develop our spirits or learn that we're missing out on? And God's saying, yes, I want that for you, but you got to go to this dot and then this dot. People, it would do you good to become a student of the Holy Ghost. Were you blessed today? Oh, God has such a good life for you. We could sit here and tell story after story, but I know I gotta close this up. There's people doing nursery and children's church right now who are having bad thoughts about me. We better close this in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for our help. Oh, Father, I get chills thinking of all the things that just one little leading opened up for in my life. I'm so thankful. And Lord, I also think about all the times when I disregarded those leadings or didn't even offer your thoughts on a situation and some of the heartache, some of the pain that I unnecessarily gone through in life, some of the hurt and the trials and tests that were self-inflicted. Now, not all trials are. This isn't a message to get people into condemnation, but some of them could have been avoided. Just like there's a whole host of people that are in hell and it could have been avoided. It was not necessary. There's no reason why anybody should go there. A better way has been provided. And Father, I thank you that you have ways for us. And Lord, I pray for every single person here this morning that their eyes would be open to this. That Father, they would realize there is a life that is worth living and a life that is out there that they can't even wrap their mind around how good it can be by being a student and listening to the Holy Ghost. It will save you from things. It will bring you into things. It will cause you to overcome in things that other people just won't. So I pray their eyes would be open to this. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. All these great natural earthly blessings, they're good and they're well and they're nice, but heaven's the best blessing there is. And Lord, we saw in the beginning of this message that you've provided a way to heaven. Thank you for doing that, by the way. When there was no way, you made a way. So thank you for that, Father. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If the answer isn't 100%, yeah, I know I'd go, then I encourage you to listen closely to my next words. You can walk out of here assured that you're going to heaven. Say, why? Because I know the way. I can tell you the way to get there. How do you get there? Through Jesus. The Bible says if you just believe and confess his name, it's not about how much church you've gone to, how good of a person you've been, how bad of a person you've been, if you've been charitable. That's not it. It's about Jesus. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you can say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus into my heart, but I do believe in him. I believe he was real. I believe he died and rose again. Well, my goodness, you're halfway there if you believe it. The other half is just receive it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. But if you want to receive Jesus for the first time and know that your heaven, eternity is sealed in your heart, with nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand high in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Is there anybody at all that wants to receive him? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. You're not saying I'm becoming a member of this church or joining anything. You're just declaring, I believe in Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Before we close, anybody at all want to receive Jesus this morning? Just lift your hand high in the air and put it back down. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that everyone in here that can hear me is born again. But if by chance there's someone here or listening by live stream or listening in the future on the archives of this service and they've not made Jesus their Lord, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted you. And Father, you've made it simple. The process is just simply saying, Lord, I do believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it with all your heart, he'll save you, forgive you, wipe all your sin away. Heaven will become yours and he'll become your Father. And then get into a Bible teaching church where you can learn all that God has for you. Things like today. Things that will change people's lives today. Father, let's praise him real quick. Father, we love you for everything you've done, Father. It's skillful to live a life following the Holy Ghost. Father, we love you and praise you. We give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, you know, I was thinking about stories, and I won't tell another story, but you talk about being profitable. Brother Hagin said this, and I've seen it in people's lives, my own life and in people's lives. He said, when I learn to follow the Holy Ghost, if you learn to follow the Holy Ghost, it'll lead you into prosperity like you've never known before. And I know people that even in these four walls that the Holy Ghost in times have directed them certain places, and it's just opened a door of prosperity that they never would have had before. God is good, people. Amen. Is there stuff over in fellowship today? What do we got today? Woo, cheese crackers and bacon. That sounds like football food. To get ready for our Bills win today. Amen. Hallelujah. I love all of you. Don't forget Pastor Nancy tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. You are dismissed.
To those who fear yourself is blessing you.